Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. And I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. This charge I've received from my Father. So, whenever we hear the words, I am the Good Shepherd, I think we get so caught up in how arresting and appealing that image is that we kind of forget the rest of what Jesus said or to whom he was saying it. And that's okay, sort of. The image of the shepherd is so popular because so often it is attached to deep gospel in the scriptures. Immediately we think from our introit, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And we like that. We want that. And maybe you remember the parable of the lost sheep, where the good and loving shepherd leaves the 99 behind to go find the lost one. And when he finds it, he hoists it up onto his shoulders and then carries it home, where he rejoices over the lost one's return with family and friends. Or think of Jesus describing the last judgment, where all people are brought before the Son of Man as he sits on his throne of glory, and he separates them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And then he says to his sheep on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, enter the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The good shepherd, he finds us, he cares for us, he brings us to the eternal kingdom. And yet, there is more here than just that. And you may have noticed that Jesus spoke of laying down his life so that he might take it up again. And that's a reference to Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, which is why we get this Good Shepherd reading during the Paschal season year after year. Jesus is the Good Shepherd because he died and he rose. But all this he does as an agent of the Father, the one executing the Father's will freely in love and confidence for us. And that's what we need to hear today. That all this business of Jesus' death and resurrection is about the Father's will to gather into one flock and under one shepherd all people so that we might have life and have it abundantly. So let's start with that odd phrase. The Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Now, this does not mean that the Father did not love the Son before Jesus took up the work that he was given. The love of the Father for the Son and of the Son for the Father is part of the eternal mystery of the Trinity. For God is love. And it is the grace that is poured out into all of creation and that comes forth by the will of God so that it can be loved by him. Now, the sense of love that Jesus is getting at here is the delight, the joy the Father has as the Son does his work to redeem the fallen by laying down his life in such a way that he could take it up again, with hell crushed and death broken and sin atoned for. The Father loves that the Son restores the fallen to life. Now, why is Jesus saying this? Remember, he's speaking here to the Pharisees in Jerusalem who have been giving him grief over the healing of a man born blind. So it's quite pointed that Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd, since the implication is that those teachers, those Pharisees, those leaders in Jerusalem are not good shepherds by contrast. They are thieves. They are hired hands. They are not working according to the charge of the Father. They have not been seeking to restore the fallen or to redeem the lost. So Jesus, the Good Shepherd, receives the Father's charge and executes the Father's will. He lays down his life. He dies by his own authority, freely. No one forced him, not the Father, certainly not the powers of Jerusalem or Rome. And as you might guess, the grammar here is all about sacrifice. Jesus sacrifices himself in order to take away sin and condemnation, in order to free the sheep from death and hell. And when Jesus said, I lay it down that I may take it up again, he meant that he does this innocently, freely, without sin or blemish. He is the perfect sacrificial victim. And yet, he's the one that death has no claim on. Hence, when he gave himself to death in our place, death could not hold him because death transgressed its jurisdiction. And by doing, it lost its power. Jesus laid down his life to break death. And having done that, he takes up his life again freely so that he may lead his sheep to life. Now, with all this inside baseball, you may have noticed that we haven't really looked at why we need all of this or what it gives to us. We'll get there. We just need to appreciate the drama of what's behind this image of Jesus as our good shepherd. He laid down his life so he might take it up again in order to lead us to life. You might remember last week in our first reading, we heard the first part of Peter and John preaching to the people about the healing of the lame man. And the Greek there, they call Jesus the author of life. They said, you put the author of life, Jesus, to death when he's talking to the leaders. And I looked at it in the Greek, and turns out the word for author is both interesting and helpful, because the word is actually archagos, literally first leader, or foundational way maker. Literally, it gets translated as prince sometimes, author works too, but the image, that title of Jesus as the first leader, or the foundational way maker to life, is crucial. For that's what his laying down and taking up his life as our shepherd does. It makes the way for us to life as we follow him through this world, through death, and to the glorious resurrection and life everlasting. And why do we need the shepherd? Because we can't get there on our own. We're sheep. And anyone who has worked with domesticated sheep will tell you that they are not the sharpest crayons in the box, and they are stubborn, which is a pretty good description of all of us. We're a little dim and a lot stubborn. And so we get into all sorts of trouble, even when we know better. And then, in trouble, we often refuse to admit that we've messed up, or we try to untangle ourselves and often only make things worse. We are, in a very real sense, our own worst enemies. And that wouldn't necessarily be a problem except for two things. First, the stuff that we get ourselves into brings us death, and we have no way to get out of that by ourselves. And second, the stuff that we do often hurts others, which is not only not right, but it justly earns us the disfavor of God. We need a shepherd then who will guide us rightly, who can bring us from death to life, and who can restore us to favor with God. And that's what Jesus does. He does that because we are his own and he is ours, and he loves us. And we hear his voice and we know him and we follow so that we can be part of that one flock and have life, even life eternal. Of course, it's not just us that's the problem. Yes, we need Jesus to guide us and get us out of trouble, the trouble that we get into. We need him to forgive us, but there's also a wolf out there prowling. And the wolf is not simply the devil. Remember, everything our shepherd does, he does according to the charge that he has from his Father. And his charge is not just to get us to behave or to get us through death to life. His charge is to save us from the wolf. For the hired hand abandons the sheep, but our good shepherd, who is ours even as we are his, who knows us and loves us even as he knows the Father and Father knows him, he will not let the wolf snatch us or scatter us. And what then is the wolf? Well, yes, the devil with his lies and his deceit, but also death and condemnation and sin. These all swirl around us, ready to take us away into loss and emptiness and death and destruction. And because we are dim and stubborn, we wander into the places that expose us to these threats, whether it's how we treat each other, or what we put ahead of God in our lives, or what petty sins we ignore or try to justify. We are wandering sheep, and simply corralling us is not going to fix the problem. To win us back to God, our shepherd had to take out the wolf, and so Jesus did. Having died and risen, he now leads us to life. As we hear his voice, we follow and we find that we walk in his ways and we bear the fruits of his Spirit. He gives us his life so that in him we might show forth peace and gentleness and patience, self-control, kindness, joy, love, faithfulness, and then share with others the grace that we have received. Your good shepherd knows you, my friends, and risen, he will lead you through life and death to eternal life and joy. So know his voice, follow him, and live. For Christ is risen.
He is
risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.